was why!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Ron and Brian podcast. As always, I'm Ron, joined by the man who attacked Bret Hart during this past weekend's WWE Hall of Fame ceremony, Brian. Brian, how you doing?
I'm feeling better now. I took a little bit of a punneling from the staff over at the Barclays Center or wherever that event was. I was obviously on some heavy pain medication, exhibiting some poor behavior by attacking Hart. It seemed like the thing to do. He was such an idol of mine. I had seen him take so many hits over the years. I just thought it'd be kind of cool if I could be the one involved in him taking one more.
I mean, Dash Wilder got quite the cheap shot in right in your face. So, I mean, the nose looks like it's healing, but yeah, you gotta not mix the Oxycontin with the Adderall.
Do you know what actually took the biggest damage?
What's that?
You know what took the biggest damage for me?
What's that?
My titanium taint was dislodged.
Oh, well, geez, that had to
As sting. I was rolling out of the ring onto the floor, my titanium taint shifted, causing some leakage.
I can imagine where that would be a bit uncomfortable.
That it was, my friend.
Can't say you didn't quite deserve it, though.
Oh, I deserved it.
Well, hopefully Drink of the Week will help make you feel better. We went with martini themes this week. And vodka was the clear favorite over the gin martini. What was it, about 70 to 30%, somewhere in that ballpark.
I like the way you say somewhere near that ballpark. It was exactly 69 to 31%.
Oh, you got the numbers.
I do have the numbers right here. And also, I'd like to point out, this was the first week that we did our Drink of the Week poll in the Twitter format as well as Facebook. Was happy to see so many of our listeners rush to our Twitter page and participate in that poll. Interesting concept that was brought up to my attention. I don't know if you were aware of this, but I definitely was not, was that some people double voted.
Ooh.
They voted on the Facebook page, and then they voted on the Twitter page. And you want to know something? I say more the merrier.
Although we would hope people would go by the honor system, but we'll take the votes however we can get them. So vodka martini it is. I'm not going to lie, Brian, I'm not a huge martini fan.
I'll take it one step further. I don't like vermouth.
Yes, that is exactly where I'm going with this. I like vodka. I'm a clear spirits kind of guy. Not a fan of vermouth. But tonight I've got Tito's handmade vodka, my vodka of choice, and a little Martini and Rossi extra dry vermouth. 3 ounces vodka, 1 ounce vermouth, shaken over ice. And then I don't even have a martini glass. I just have a regular rocks glass that I put this in.
I went with a highball glass.
All right. What do you got in yours?
I did the same. I actually went to the Tito's page because you've turned me on in more ways than one. In this way, you turned me on to the Tito's brand. So instead of going to my liquor.com, not LICKER,
as we've mentioned before, type it in carefully.
Not safe for work, people. LIQUOUR.com, which is the Russian site that I like to go to for my drinks. This week I went to Tito's website. Three parts of Tito's vodka, one part dry vermouth, shaken over some ice, then drain it, a lemon peel. And I'm not an olive man, so I went away
from
that.
Neither am I. So this is, I think, one of the few times that we're actually drinking the exact same recipe.
Yes.
So,
except that time where when we were in college and we both drank from the same keg.
Well, there was that. But let's cheers to you, my friend. A little martini down the hatch.
Cheers. Right back to you, my friend. I'm going to watch you. Ooh, the cringe. I saw you cringe. Oh, that's not good. Mm. That's not a good look.
Oh, no, please drink yours.
Not it's not bad, but it doesn't have adding olives is not going to make it better. I don't really feel like it. It feels like I'm taking some type of medicine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any type of pleasurable flavor to it. It's an unpleasant. I'll drink it. Don't get me wrong. We've had worse drinks.
True. I have an old neighbor who he likes his martinis where he'll just pour, usually gin, he'll just pour gin in the martini glass, and then he'll just wave the vermouth bottle next to it and say, that's enough vermouth for anybody. I think that's where I'm going.
I like his style. I went through a phase where I was going with the Bombay Sapphire on rocks.
Nice. And I'm a gin man.
I do enjoy gin. Maybe next week we just do two gin drinks. Or I was going to say, do we bring in tequila next week?
I love me some tequila.
So let's do a couple tequila drinks next week. If listeners, if you're paying attention, we're at the 6-minute mark. You may not be realizing it, but we just drank some vodka martinis. Next week, we want a tequila drink. So reach out to us, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, website, TikTok. We now have a TikTok page.
We do. Nice.
And no, we actually don't, but it's coming. And also, don't forget to hit us up on YouTube, which we don't have, but I think we should start putting our shows on YouTube. I think we're missing out on a population of listeners that want to open up the YouTube
not watch
app.
Video and just listen to audio?
Yeah, but you know what we could do, and this is where I think it could be cool, is that we could put photos up of things we're talking about.
True.
While the podcast is going.
That sounds like an awful lot of work, but we'll look into it.
It's not the worst of ideas.
No, it's not. I mean, all things considered, you've certainly steered me down the wrong path in worse ways.
Well, I think that was that time when we were both trying to join the Latin Kings. I think this was 92. We went down. We drove from upstate New York. We drove down to the Bronx. In full Latin King colors, black and gold, and I was basically approaching everybody in the corner, asking them if they knew a Latin King that would help initiate us. We got jumped in, but little did I know they were not Latin Kings. They were just some Spanish men on the corner of Amsterdam Avenue and 128th Street. I thought we were going to get team shirts afterwards. Instead, got an ambulance straight to the hospital.
Well, fond memories. Cheers to that. I'm really not going to waste alcohol, though.
No. I don't think you and I have ever wasted a drink of the week.
Nope.
Has there ever been one where we've sat there? It was funny. Somebody said to me earlier today when they were talking about the drink of the week, they're like, do you ever make a second drink or is it always one? And there have been a couple times where I've gone back for seconds.
When we did the no collusion cocktail, I made two, which turned out to be a horrendous mistake because it was so bad. But yeah, I mean, if it's good, we'll have a second.
There was one I remember where I just basically threw my headphones down, ran into the kitchen, and made another drink while you were still talking.
Yeah, every now and then, and you can't see this, we're not live, although we will be doing another Facebook Live broadcast in the coming weeks. Yeah, you miss it, but Brian literally will just walk away. And then I'm just here talking, hoping that he'll come back at some point.
Do you know what I'm usually doing when that happens?
I'm afraid to ask, but tell me.
I'm going to blow my nose.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
Because my nose starts to run from the cocaine use.
Right.
My nose starts to run, and I don't want to be on microphone sniffling.
That's very
polite. So there have been times where I've just literally pulled my T-shirt over and just swiped my nose across it. But I'm on camera because Ron is watching me. So I think it's a little, I have a reputation to maintain here. So I'll stand up, walk away to go blow my nose.
All right. Well, now I know. Now the listeners know. The more you know. All right. Let's move it on. Let's get into some This Week in Racism.
This Week in
Racism.
Well, you called
racism.
It, Brian.
Racism.
Corinne Tyrone got her third win, knocking off the San Jose Shell Racist 78% to 22%, although I am surprised that the San Jose Shell Racist got the votes that she did. I thought it was going to be a clean sweep for Corinne. But again, she still gets her third win, and she'll be going for a fourth win, retirement, and a number one seed this week. Brian, pat yourself on the back a little bit.
I can't. I don't think it's this is not something where, first of all, picking racism is not something I should be proud of.
True.
Second of all here, what what I'm looking at here is, you know, let's face it, this is our 49th episode. So we've been looking at racists for 49 straight weeks. It's really a matter of, do you know your content? Clearly, Corinne Tyrone was just she's a quality candidate. She brings everything to the table. First off, Walmart. Everybody loves white trash yelling at other trash. It's fun. Second of all, she just spews the racism, you know, N-words left and right. What makes it even better is that she's got her children right next to her. And here, the creme fraiche, the caramel on your sundae, she works for the school system. It's the perfect storm here.
She brings a lot to the table, no question. Well, let's see who we have that potentially could go up against her, who might be some competition over in New Market, Tennessee. The Highlander Research and Education Center, which once trained Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and other civil rights leaders and organizers, had a building burned to the ground. It was initially thought to be either a brush or structure fire, but that changed when a symbol connected to the White Power movement was found spray-painted in the parking lot. An investigation is still ongoing. Over in Atlanta, Georgia, at Emory University, Jewish students found flyers designed as eviction notices stuck to the doors of their dorm rooms by the Students for Justice for Palestine. The notices stated that if the students did not get out, quote, "we reserve the right to destroy all remaining belongings." The university stated that the group had permission to post the flyers, but did not comply with the posting guidelines. The university's Office of Student Conduct will review the incident and determine the appropriate next steps. Going all the way down to Dallas, Texas, Stephen Arnquist, a teacher at Skyline High School, was outed by anti-fascist group Eugene Antifa as a member of white supremacist groups such as Identity Europa, Stormfront, and American Renaissance. He has been placed on administrative leave pending an investigation. Moving over to the east again in North Carolina, the Washington Post released a report about UNC women's basketball coach Sylvia Hatchell that claimed that she once warned players that they would get, quote, "hanged from trees with nooses" if their play didn't improve. Hatchell and her staff were placed on administrative leave as the university investigates the allegations. Four of the team's 14 current players have indicated their intention to transfer, while two others are considering their options if Hatchell keeps her job. But our candidate this week, and we're going back to Dallas, East Dallas, Texas to be exact, we have a homeowner who has been dubbed Taco Truck Tammy for threatening to call ICE on a taco truck that was in her neighborhood. And we've got some audio on that here.
Okay, please move.
We are, okay?
Okay.
Have a seat. Thank you.
Grábala, grábala. Esta vieja está loca, que me dice que no tengo permiso aquí en Dallas yo. Mira cómo está tomando video esta vieja loca. Tengo permiso para vender de Dallas.
No. Go back inside. Go back inside.
Okay, baby girl.
Go back inside.
Vámonos. Ben, I'll call ICE.
Not your baby girl. Okay, call ICE.
Huh? Tupida bicha.
Call them, okay? You can call them. Call them. Call them right now.
All right. The woman, only identified as Valerie so far, lives in an area where a number of new homes are being built, and the food trucks are in the area serving the workers building the homes. Now, Brian, I know what you're thinking. Just from that audio, she doesn't seem like that strong of a candidate. I see the look on your face. You're feeling that at the moment, aren't you?
If she were going up against, I don't know, the San Jose Shell Racist, if she was going up against the Scott Kingsley High School in Alabama. I mean, if she were going up against some other type of weaker opposition, I would say, ooh, clearly racist. We need to come after this woman. To me, you're looking at a one seed going up against a 16 seed here.
All right. Well, fortunately, Valerie talked to a local news station after the video went viral, so we have a little bit more context to judge Valerie in. She had a bunch of excuses. She admitted her comments weren't her best moment, but claims that she was frustrated because she was preparing to show her home to a prospective buyer, and the taco truck workers also threatened her. She blamed pent-up frustration because of constant construction noise, not being able to sell her house, and a death in the family. Is that enough, Brian? But wait.
Oh.
There's more. She finished up by saying that part of her threat was directed towards the construction workers around her house, and she questioned whether those workers were in the country legally.
Okay. I think maybe we got something here.
So I think it's going to be a little bit closer than you initially thought. I agree with you. When I listened to the audio, I was like, you know, maybe just someone having a bad day. When she then clarifies her comments, a little bit of racism there. A little bit more.
Well, it sounds like she actually got she digs herself into a deeper hole here.
Well, that's the thing. The news station really didn't ask her to clarify to the extent that she did. And she certainly just offered on her own that, hey, I also think all the construction workers working in my neighborhood aren't citizens.
And there you go.
So,
and this is why we need stronger border control.
So that's why we're shaking up the Department of Homeland Security,
we've got these criminals that are coming in from our southern border, and they're infiltrating this country. The sector is full. They're infiltrating this country, and what are they doing? They're standing on their feet for 12 plus hours a day making tacos, which is something that nobody has an issue with.
I would love a taco truck right outside. I mean that's a solution. That's not a problem. That's just my opinion.
I would work that taco truck.
I would gladly pay you in more than money.
Here's a question for you while we're on the subject: is do you buy food from street vendors?
Oh yeah.
Really? Like what kind? Like what are you? What are we talking here? Because what is the Philly street food scene?
I mean, we have a very robust food truck network here. I mean, you have when we were at Broken Goblet, Jay's Steak and Hoagie Joint had their food truck there. That's where you had the pretzel roll cheesesteak. One of our favorites is Foolish Waffles, which they make a great banh mi sandwich with a waffle bun. Cow and the Curd, just fried cheese curds. I mean, we got a ton of great food trucks here in Philadelphia.
And you will just go, you'll just swing by on a whim? Does your office, do they say like, hey, let's go hit the food trucks today? Is it like you're walking to your car and you realize you're hungry for before you have the long ride home? What's the thought process here?
It's more, you know, if we're going to events, if we go to like the Mann Music Center, they'll have trucks there. A lot of the local breweries that we go to, since they don't have kitchens of their own, will have food trucks in the parking lot. So, but yeah, every now and then, if we see one that we particularly like is nearby, we'll just roll over and get something to eat.
No bad food experiences?
Not as of yet.
Really? Okay.
You need to open your horizons a little bit.
I have not a great history when it comes to questionable food sources, so I've tended to steer clear of street food vendors. So I've missed out on this whole renaissance. Now, was it the American Renaissance Group that you mentioned earlier that were the food truck people?
Possibly.
You know, I've missed out on the American Renaissance Group. you know, it's really just the fear of just diarrhea within an hour and a half after the show, after taking part in it. Every now and then I will, but for the most part, if I don't know that it's coming from a trusted source, I will avoid it.
Next time you are down here, we will have to hit up some of our food trucks and convert you.
Yes. Speaking of which, you sent me a link this week to a Philly institution invading the streets of Brooklyn.
That's right. Tony Luke's has opened up a new cheesesteak shop there in Brooklyn. Tony Luke's real deal, one of the original Philly cheesesteaks. Good roast pork as well. Have you made it over yet?
I have not, because I know Brooklyn very well, and I know that all of the hipster millennials are going to be lining up for an hour and a half outside, so I'm waiting for the crowds to die down a little bit.
Give it a little time. Again, we can also go to the original Tony Luke's the next time you're down.
Which would be?
South Philly.
There we go.
All right.
I'm happy for South Philly.
Check out the Facebook page and Twitter. We will have the polls up for This Week in Racism. Again, Corinne Tyrone going for win number 4, going up against Taco Truck Tammy. Should be a good one. But yes, I would agree with you. I think Corinne probably pulls out a 4th win. Taco Truck Tammy also fairly repulsive in her own right.
This is the thing, folks. If you're listening right now, you control who is going to be the winner of our Racist of the Week. It's not something Ron and I pick. These votes are not rigged. You know, there's no influence from foreign governments. We're not selling votes or whatnot. We're taking real votes. Go to our Facebook page. Go to our Twitter page. Vote in these. If you feel that Corinne Tyrone is more of a racist than Taco Truck Tammy, and it may be worth it to tack on at the end of this to remind people what Corinne Tyrone did. Because it's been so long, I almost feel that Joe Biden was in the White House when Corinne Tyrone walked into that Walmart many, many years ago. It's been so long. But go vote. Vote on our Facebook page. Vote on our Twitter page. Participate. You know, one of the things that's concerning me is how that people seem much more comfortable voting on Drink of the Week than Racist of the Week.
That's very true. We tend to get more votes for the drinks than we do for racism. Maybe people are just very conflicted about who we put up against each other.
I think that people are uncomfortable voting on racists.
That could be it as well.
That's my take.
Check your white privilege at the door, people, and place your votes.
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, let's move on to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
You know what's bugging me this week, Brian?
What?
It is these supposed Facebook giveaways by celebrities that people share repeatedly through the day. Ellen seems to be the big one lately, where if you share, like, she'll send $2 million to 900 people, or you'll get a car or something like that. The funny thing is that the Ellen accounts that people are sharing from typically have like 100 followers. It's like, right. Do you really feel that Ellen, I mean, I don't know how many followers Ellen has. I will throw that out there, but I'm going to go out on a limb. She probably has more than 100, and I'm also going to go out on a limb. So, I mean, 2 million times what 900 people is what? $1.8 billion
around there.
She's not giving away $1.8 billion.
Ellen DeGeneres has 31 million followers on Facebook.
Okay. So I literally saw 5 times today people in my Facebook feed sharing that. I know this has happened before with like Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, but people, they're not giving away money. They're not giving away cars. They're not giving away yachts, planes, whatever. Just stop being stupid. There's enough stupidity on social media. Just stop it. That's all I got. Brian, okay. What's bugging you this week?
Well, I think I've got something a little bit more concerning to society as a whole.
Which is?
Citi Field in Queens.
I can't even look at you.
I took a trip out there. You also have to understand something. It literally is 10 minutes from my house.
It's still the Mets. I can't even look at you.
It is.
But go on.
It's a wonderful stadium. The sight lines are great. You're at a baseball game. You know, one of my complaints with the Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, is that it feels like you're at a entertainment complex where there's also a baseball game going on. Anyway, but let's not compliment Citi Field, because I'm here to bitch about him.
Okay.
And that is the fact that they are not they're not set up and prepared to handle the crowds that show up to a early season Mets game.
Well,
now,
to be fair, it's August, the Mets, and they're probably just not used to them having fans.
And that's the problem, is the fact that, you know, I've gone to games in September where you know, 20 minutes before the first pitch, you just roll right up with your ticket, get it scanned, and you walk right in. You know, this was opening weekend. Showed up. Literally, there are two places in the entire stadium where you can enter, which to me screams target for terrorists, because you've got all these people being, you know, funneled into this one area. We waited online for over 20 minutes to get into the stadium.
That's ridiculous.
Gets worse.
Okay.
The concession lines. Not enough concession stands. I waited more than 20 minutes to get a hot dog and a beer.
Sons of bitches.
And every concession line was ridiculously long. People I went with actually were waiting online for other beverages, gave up because the line simply was not moving.
I mean, one thing you have to say about Yankee Stadium, which I agree, I am not a fan of Yankee Stadium. It is more like an entertainment center than anything else.
Yeah.
But there is a shit ton of vendors there. Like, you can't turn around without bumping into a beer stand, food stand, whatever.
No square foot is wasted in Yankee Stadium.
Nope.
If you're not in a clean line to stare at the field, you're staring at a vendor selling you something, whether it's $12 pulled pork sandwiches, $13 garlic fries, $18 souvenir cup Budweiser draft beers, or the always pleasant Cracker Jacks for 11 and a quarter. You never have to wait online for food. It's a fast-moving line. Citi Field is just not set up for it. That's why I don't like going to games at the beginning of the season.
All right. They're not in mid-season form yet in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I think they've lost the last couple of games, so they're already there.
All right. Well, how are the Yankees doing, to be honest? I haven't been keeping up with it.
Started off poor. They had a poor first series with the Baltimore Orioles. Then they won a couple series. Unfortunately, they just got swept in a three-game series with Houston Astros, who started off the season on the rough side, but seemed to just have dominated the Yankees the last three games.
Everyone was excited with the start of the Phillies season. I think the Phillies went 4-0, 5-0, but they just got drubbed yesterday by the Nationals 15-1. So everyone seems to be paying attention to the Sixers and the NBA playoffs now.
But you have Bryce Harper.
We do have Bryce Harper, and I think that's about it.
Are you planning on going to any games so far?
We will do what we normally do and say for the next few months, yeah, we really need to get to a Phillies game this season. And then it'll be September and we'll be like, all right, well, I guess that's not happening again.
All right. That's a shame.
Yeah, it happens. So, Brian, I would like to hit you with some new music. Not something we do often here, but something I heard earlier this week that I want to get your take on. You know me, there's two things I can't stand. It's Kids and Radiohead. But I found Kids singing Radiohead this week, and I'm just transfixed by it.
All right, let's do this.
Apparently, The Voice is like worldwide now. There's actually a voice program in Germany that is just focusing on kids. And so that's where this comes from. They're called Mimi and Josephine. Sisters, one's 15, one's 13, and they did a cover of Creep by Radiohead. Yes.
Now, I did not make this, Mimi. I was not involved in the making of this meme. Somebody else made the meme.
But just take a listen. I've been like transfixed on this, and I can't tell if I'm just I can't tell if I'm crazy or what. But take a listen to this.
When you were here before.
So that's Mimi. That's the 15-year-old. You'll hear her sister coming in a second.
You were just like an angel.
What language are they singing?
Me cry.
German. All German.
You flow like a feather. In the beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
We're almost at the end here.
No, I think I'm at the end here, like of my rope.
Like, am I crazy, or is that even for me better than the original?
I don't remember the original being that bad, was it?
I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, but I'm like transfixed on this version of the song now, and I can't get it out of my
head. Oh, so you're actually listening to it a lot.
Now it's like, it's in heavy rotation.
Oh, my fucking sake. What is wrong
I'm really
with
just
you?
Angry because I'm just not that talented, and kids being this talented just really make me angry.
Okay. Oh, well, then I'm going to, I'll tell it like it is. We should have a new segment, Brian Tells It Like It Is.
I like it. I like it already.
With like the sound of like some kind of like metal stamp hitting a table, like boom. She's the girl, the main girl, the Mimi girl, sounded like she had just stubbed her finger on the corner of a table for the first half of that song. I genuinely asked what language was she singing in, because it did not sound like it was English.
All right.
It did not sound like it was a language that I would understand. And after a while, I understood the word. But before that, it was more like, which is the sound that I made last night. Never mind.
What also upsets me is by watching the Voice in Germany, I'm now also familiar with a band called the Boss Hoss, who were judges on The Voice.
Love them.
Are you familiar with Boss Hoss?
Yes. I have their first album. It was on a indie label that was put out in 2014, which was odd because it created a lot of controversy because it was basically them reading sections of Mein Kampf over bad electronic rhythm beats. I was transfixed by
it. You maybe have them confused with someone else. They actually started in 2004. And they started off by doing country and Western style cover versions of famous pop, rock, and hip hop songs. One of which we'll give a little listen to.
There we go. Good gracious, ask audacious, flirtatious, try to show patience. Looking for the right time to shoot my steam.
You know.
Looking for the right time, flash damn peace. I'm leaving, please believe
that's
me.
Right. It's,
the rest of
it's hot in here by Nelly.
Oh, is that what it is? Because I genuinely don't recognize the song yet.
No deceiving, after normal sleep, no teasing. I need you to get up on the dance floor. Give that man what he asking for. Cause I feel like about to lose, and I feel like touching you. And can nobody stop the chew, so baby, tell me
now what's the name of this band?
It's getting hot in here.
They're called the Boss Hoss. Boss Hoss is all one word. Yeah, I'm just going to fade this the rest of the way off. I don't know why,
oh,
but
come
that,
on.
That...
How did you... So you went with It's Hot in Here, but you didn't go after... Jolene.
Apparently, they also
word
did,
up.
They also did "Toxic" by Britney Spears and "Hey Ya" by Outkast.
It's Britney, bitch.
So now you all can be angry as I am that music exists.
Well, I actually think you're encouraging it by playing it and talking about it.
I always encourage our listeners to listen for themselves. And make their own judgments. So anyway, that's New Music Thursday here
where
on the
are
Ron
you
and
going
Brian
to
podcast.
Be, where are you going to be August 3rd?
It's hard to tell this far out. Why is that?
Because Boss Hogg is playing the Wacken Open Air Festival.
Oh, and where is that?
Germany.
Ah, well, maybe we'll make a trip. We'll do an international live Ron and Brian podcast.
My friends Life of Agony are playing that festival as well.
Are they? Very interesting.
Yes.
Maybe they can beat up Boss Hoss for us.
Or maybe pull a Tanya Harding.
Nice.
And Jeff Galooly Boss Hogg.
Well, anyway, speaking of international, there was some international intrigue today. Julian Assange was arrested in London after being dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy, where he has been for, what, 7 years
Seven
now?
Years. 7 years, yes. And now, he went in there originally to hide from a rape charge.
True.
Which has not been discussed today. So I don't know whatever happened to that rape charge. I don't know if you've got it handy. But speaking of handy. But Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks. Love WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, if you're listening.
WikiLeaks,
if you're
Jerry.
If you're listening, WikiLeaks, where are those emails?
So, there has been an unsealed indictment. He has been charged for his interactions with Chelsea Manning, formerly known as Bradley Manning, as for the Army documents.
Previously known as Bradley Cooper.
I was not aware of that.
Yes, it was Bradley Cooper to Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning. And then next week, I believe she changed her name to Chelsea Handler.
What I'm really curious about is to what happened that caused the Ecuadorian embassy to kick him out, because they said it was something about he had discourteous and aggressive behavior, and they said his asylum was unsustainable and no longer viable. They also referenced the fact that WikiLeaks had published some sensitive Vatican documents back in January as evidence of Assange's ongoing meddling in other countries' affairs.
Is there any doubt what happened here?
What do you mean?
The U.S. probably threatened Ecuadorian support. Was it not just last week that... the U.S. Cut off funding to several Central American countries.
I thought those were just Mexican countries they cut them off
to.
I saw that on Fox News.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Are you saying Ecuador is a Mexican country?
I'm saying that it is possible that word got to the Ecuadorian government of, hey, listen, we just cut aid to three countries that are in your neck of the woods. How would you like it to make it four?
All right.
You know, I mean, let's, when you're looking at the Southern Hemisphere over here, there's a lot of money that is being spent by the American government supporting other countries. And to me, this is probably a pure and simple financial comment. It was Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. It's not that much of a stretch for someone to think that somebody in the State Department got word to Ecuador of saying, hey, you could be on the second list.
So Edward Snowden weighed in on this subject, stating important background for journalists covering the arrest of Julian Assange by Ecuador. The United Nations formally ruled his detention to be arbitrary, a violation of human rights. They have repeatedly issued statements calling for him to walk free, including very recently. Obviously, Donald Trump, big fan of the UN, so I'm sure he will take those comments to heart.
But he was a big fan of WikiLeaks.
Well, according to what he's saying today, he has no connection to WikiLeaks, even though he was quoted multiple times in 2016 during the end of the presidential campaign, saying how much that he loves WikiLeaks and going through the information on WikiLeaks.
Love WikiLeaks. Love WikiLeaks.
Loves WikiLeaks. But now, doesn't know WikiLeaks. Not even sure what it might be. He came out and said, I don't know WikiLeaks. It's almost like he's lying.
No.
I listen.
That man doesn't lie.
I don't want to say that about a president, but it's very possible that he could be a liar.
Yeah, it's possible.
One thing he did do, as we've seen over the past week, is completely shake up the Department of Homeland Security, starting by the Director of Homeland Security. What's her name again? Christian Nielsen?
Kristen Nielsen, yes.
Booted.
But she spells it very differently than you and I would.
There's like a J in there, I believe, which I'm
There's
still
several
not,
J's,
still
yes.
not 100% sure why.
I believe that was because she was named, her name was inspired by Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah, so I think her parents were of a Nordish background, and they sat there and said, you know, Jimmy Walker is our favorite comedian. How can we pay homage to him in the most appropriate way? You know what? Let's name our daughter Leslie. Let's throw a J in there. What's her last name? Nielsen. Give her another J.
So she wasn't even given the opportunity to resign. You know, she did resign, but Trump had already tweeted, you know, thank you for your work. So clearly she was forced out. Secret Service head also resigned. And then on Wednesday, the acting director of ICE, Ron Vitiello, also resigned suddenly. So you've got three main players in the department that are now out.
Well, Trump made his famous speech, went down to the border last week, stood next to Nielsen, hyped her up, talked about what a great job she was doing, talked about how happy he was with her, and then 3 days later basically fires her. What I've read, a couple accounts of him sitting there saying that we need to eliminate immigration judges because they're out of touch with what's going on in the border. And when he was down at in Texas meeting with some border agents, he sat there and told a couple of them that they should just ignore any judge's orders, and they should just throw any immigrants seeking asylum back over the border.
And thankfully, the heads of the people who those border agents report to were wise enough to say, listen, if you listen to the president and break the laws, you will be personally liable for whatever happens.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go to jail.
So now
the question is, yeah. Here I have a question for you, is head of I just completely blanked. The Secret Service,
right?
The head of the Secret Service is out this week. Now, a lot of people are tying his departure to this shakeup overall in the Department of Homeland Security. I learned this past week that Secret Service is part of the Department of Homeland Security. I did not know that.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I always thought they were a subset of the
Justice Department.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Obviously wrong. Anyway, moving on. Do you think that he went down because the Chinese agent was arrested at Mar-a-Lago last week?
That's very possible. You know,
allegedly that she alleged. I don't want to jump the gun by saying that that it was an agent of the Chinese government, even though she had thumb drives that were covered with malware. She had 9 different hard drives, 4 different passports, and a partridge in a pear tree.
I mean, I've got 4 passports just sitting here next to me in a drawer, so I don't know if that's all that suspicious, but it's very possible. You know, I'm sure, you know, something like that happening at Mar-a-Lago, you know, Trump's embarrassed by. Maybe he did force him out due to that.
Do you think he's embarrassed by that?
I think maybe embarrassed isn't the right word. I think he gets upset when people report on what he feels is his little private fiefdom there. And Mar-a-Lago, obviously, he feels that's Donald's safe space. You know, when he needs to be protected, he goes to Mar-a-Lago, where he can wrap himself in a cuddly little blanket and eat off of a omelet bar.
That is that's the Southern White House you're talking about.
The White House of the South, yes.
And that's where he goes to hobnob with 1%ers and play a lot of golf.
Quite a bit.
And hang out with Chinese women who used to own massage parlors.
Allegedly.
No. She clearly owned it. True. And took pictures of herself with him during his Super Bowl party.
I mean, at least she didn't try to offer access to the president for cash.
I thought she did.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, she did. I'm sorry.
She did do that, yes. But that's really a testament of the people that are hanging out at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, they're just a great bunch of... You know, there's great people on both sides, Brian. I think you just need
to remember that. We are going to drain the swamp when we take over in 2017. We're going to drain the swamp.
So anyway, President Trump yesterday suggested that it didn't matter who he picked to replace Kirstjen Nielsen as head of Homeland Security, because he's the one that really runs the show at DHS. So he was making comments once again before hopping on a helicopter, always in front of a helicopter, making comments, saying,
"That's
frankly,
a stupid question.
There's only one person who is running it. You know who that is? It's me." He also praised Stephen Miller when people asked if Stephen Miller had a shot at the Homeland Security gig. So yeah, why not put a white nationalist in charge of Homeland Security? I don't see anything bad happening there.
Do we have any understanding of why Stephen Miller is so filled with hate? Because his whole family has turned on him. He does not necessarily have the background, and that is code for saying he's Jewish. doesn't really have the background to be filled with so much hate towards minorities. Where did this guy's hatred come from?
I think, you know, he is the classic example of someone that wanted to be taken seriously at a young age, and people didn't. They just laughed at him. And he also suffered from premature balding. So I think that also added to a lot of the rage inside of him.
Do you remember when he went on, what was the ABC news show in the morning? Meet the Press. When he went on Meet the Press with when he had painted his hair in.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
And then, like, one week he showed, like, he's very bald. Not this is anything wrong with bald people, But then one week he went on, and it was almost like he had that Ron Popeil spray on hair, where literally it went all the way down to, like, a thick widow's peak, was just mercilessly mocked. And 3 days later was once again marvelously bald.
I also hear, and again, this isn't me saying it, but people are saying that Stephen Miller has micropenis.
Oh, where's that? You're just guessing.
No, I've heard it. I don't know where I heard it exactly. I cannot provide you with any evidence, much less the Attorney General stating that the Trump campaign was spied upon. I can't provide you with any concrete information or evidence towards that, but I have my suspicions, and I will have people look into that.
Okay.
So what else happened this week, Brian? Oh, Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti. Whoa.
Hit with shit ton of more charges.
I think that, here's a guy who just pissed off the wrong person. we've been doing this podcast. This is our 49th episode. We have watched his rise and fall from not even grace, but just from the public eye. We have seen this man take Stormy Daniels' case almost as if he was a First Amendment advocate. He was, you know, a defender of the legal cause. Takes it completely too far. Starts talking about how he's thinking about running for president. Taking seriously by the mainstream media about that run for the presidency.
Oh yeah, I mean, people. There was a period of time where people were like, he could really be a legitimate threat to Donald Trump. He's not afraid of him.
And then he gets he got fired by Stormy Daniels.
Yep.
There were some allegations regarding whether he was really supporting her cause, blah blah blah. Then out of nowhere, he's getting jacked left and right with criminal charges. Was it last week or the week before? No, it was last week.
It was I can tell you exactly here. It was, where the hell was it? I just had it. He was arrested on March 25th initially the charges tied to the threatening Nike with trying to tank their stock prices.
Where he was demanding a payment of $2 million. Otherwise, he was going to carve, quote unquote, billions of dollars off their market cap price.
And so today there was a 61-page indictment filed. It added up to another 36 charges, including wire fraud, failure to collect and withhold payroll taxes, attempting to obstruct the IRS, failing to file tax returns, aggravated identity fraud, bank fraud, and false testimony under oath during bankruptcy. They are hitting him with everything under the sun.
That's not good.
And apparently,
that is not good.
It's also being alleged that he embezzled from a paraplegic client that he handled a settlement from. The client claims that Avenatti drained a $4 million settlement using portions of the settlement to finance his coffee business or pay personal expenses. I didn't even realize Avenatti had a coffee business.
I thought it was the paraplegic that had the coffee business.
No, it was Avenatti's business. Avenatti also concealed the receipt of the settlement from client one and instead gave him periodic advances of no more than $1,900 and paid the rent for his assisted living facility. Four other clients have claimed that Avenatti used portions of their settlements totaling millions of dollars to finance a jet. Again, his coffee business and his own legal and personal expenses. I gotta find out what about this coffee business, because now I'm fascinated, because that just seems like such a random thing. Like, if you're a lawyer and you're handling all these high profile cases, and then you're like, I'm gonna open a coffee business as well. You know what? I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm gonna buy some Michael Avenatti coffee just to help the man out.
What do you think about Ron and Brian coffee?
I mean, I think it's just a natural progression, because
it'll come in bougie whole bean, and then we'll also make a watered down Keurig cup system.
Good, because wait a minute. Is that who? Hold on a second.
We're all holding. It's not like we have a podcast and we're recording audio, you jackass. You fucking jackass. I love it.
Awesome.
Hold on a second. You know, if you wanted to, we could have just hit pause and edited this out. But we're not going to.
No, we're not going to now. That is awesome.
What were we holding on for?
Because I was honestly curious about what his coffee company was, and he founded the Tully's coffee chain, and I just find that ironic, because one of my favorite K-cups used to be Tully's Hawaiian blend, which you can't really find anymore. Now I understand why, because all the locations closed, and you know, Avenatti, you know, basically tanked the company. That's hilarious.
So what is, I never heard of Tully's.
It was, you know, I mean, I was never familiar. Apparently it was a chain of a coffee stores. They had like 40 locations, but I just remember seeing this Hawaiian blend that we picked it up on sale one time. It was very good coffee, not as good as the stuff you drink. I get it. And then all of a sudden you just couldn't find it anymore. So I just find that humorous that I've already drank in Michael Avenatti's coffee. I couldn't help the man out. Maybe
you already did help him out.
Maybe I'm part of the problem.
Well, here, well, at least you can know that you helped him out truly, because he wasn't paying taxes on any of that money.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was almost like you were donating money to him.
Almost. So, of course, he went on Twitter to proclaim his innocence, saying he intends to fully fight all charges. I look forward to the entire truth being known, as opposed to a one-sided version meant to sideline me. While it may be a one-sided version, it is a pretty, I mean, I'm thumbing through this 61-page indictment. It's fairly thorough. I mean, they have really followed the money. They've got a lot of affidavits from clients that feel that they were stolen from. It'll be interesting to see what happens here.
Now, are you a little surprised that these stories didn't come out sooner? Like, why did it take so long? Like, if you were in business with someone and they stole money from you, say, like a famous sandwich franchise chain.
Right.
They stole your hard-earned money. And then suddenly, you know, you thought they died out and you know, but suddenly they're on the front page of the newspaper acting like a fast food place of the people. Don't you think you would stand up and start screaming that they're what the bastards they are?
I mean, you know, if I was already in conversations with the proper authorities and the authorities were investigating my claims, you know, maybe I'd keep it to myself, knowing that a potential indictment was coming.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way.
Speaking of additional charges, Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin, again, her and her husband hit with a metric shit ton of charges when they did not accept the plea deal that Felicity Huffman and 12 other individuals accepted for the college bribery scandal. Brian, you've got some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think this is just another instance where no matter, you know, when you, no matter what really goes on, the prosecution really holds so many of the cards. I mean, they go after, you know, they announce all these charges. Everyone's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're finally going after Hollywood celebrities. I remember you and I were talking about how much, you know, pontificating about how much jail time Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin were looking at. And I remember sitting there saying I didn't think they were going to get any jail time. So this past week, Felicity Huffman, former Sex and the City star, she steps forward, goes to the she pleads guilty along with several of the other parents that were involved in this college bribery scandal. Lori Loughlin and her husband, Michael Avenatti, say they are not interested in any type of a deal. So they do not accept any plea. Literally 48 hours later, they get hit with a shit ton of extra charges, to the point where even if she does try to plead guilty now, she's guaranteed a significant amount of jail time.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, I'm seeing multiple reports now from inside sources stating that she is in full-on panic mode, you know, that she initially was in denial. They thought that they could skate by because they're privileged. She thought the DA was bluffing. You know, she was adamant she wouldn't do any jail time. And clearly, and I think, you know, apparently she appeared arrogant during court hearings. She was giving autographs outside of court.
I remember that.
I think she just really pissed off the prosecutors. And again, you know, the prosecutors obviously felt like they had a very strong case. Probably
right.
Felt that they were, you know, being lenient in offering her a plea deal. And now that she has passed that up, they just brought the hammer down. I mean, it's, I don't see them, getting out of this. I mean, you know, I think the 13 that accepted plea deals, including Felicity Huffman, I've read that they're looking at probably 2 to 3 years of prison time. If that's what, you know, if that's what you were initially going to get with the plea, you know, if you've rejected the plea and are facing potentially 40 years, kind of to your point, what's the next plea going to look like? I mean, I have to think that you're going to be in the 10 plus year mode.
I just hope her daughter's career as a Instagram influencer is not going to be negatively impacted. I mean, won't somebody think about the children?
I mean, apparently Olivia Jade is estranged from her parents right now. She's very embarrassed. She's very upset. Have you watched?
What I love about this is the balls of this fucking kid. She's going. I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay, tell me.
Because she is.
Wait, hold on, Brian.
Sorry.
Tell it like it is.
Okay. Because she is sitting there mad at her parents for damaging her brand, damaging her reputation and whatnot. But had she not been the daughter of Lori Loughlin, nobody would give a flying fuck who this kid is.
I mean, but have you watched her blog? She wouldn't be.
No, I've never watched her blog. No, but Sephora would never have reached out to this fucking nimwit and said, "Hey, we'd like to, you know, come out with our own with your own brand of makeup." Amazon would never have sat there and been like, "Hey, can you post a bunch of videos about how you buy all your stuff?
We're going to decorate your dorm for you."
Nobody would give a fuck who this kid is, except for the fact that she's the daughter of these two people. Now she's going to turn around and be mad at these two people because they are damaging. She never would have had a brand. She never would have had a reputation. Nobody would have, like, she literally would probably be working in a Dairy Queen right now if it weren't for the fact that her parents were wealthy and celebrities.
I was listening to Stern earlier this week, and he had what I thought was a brilliant solution for this, is that the parents of these kids need to go to prison until the kids are either able to get the scores on their SAT or ACT that the proctors got for them, or that they are able to master the sport that they were given a scholarship for.
I fucking love that.
I think that'd be brilliant. I mean, we don't have enough eye for an eye justice in this country.
No, we don't.
I feel that punishment would honestly fit the crime.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's genius. I also saw, speaking of going back into the files, I saw that the city of Chicago is suing Jussie Smollett for $160,000 for the investigation that they ran on his faux criminal complaints.
Yes, he did not. He did not pay by the deadline the city of Chicago had set, so they have filed suit against him. In the meantime, he's in Hawaii right now, spending some time with his family, enjoying being a free man.
All right, there you go. What else do we got?
The black hole photo was all the rage this week.
Can you explain it? Can you explain? And I know that it's because you're an astrologer. I know you are obsessed. You're obsessed with the planets and the sun. You're obsessed with Venus in retrograde and the effect it's going to have on you. So please explain to me what the big uproar is over the fact that we have a photo of a black hole.
All right.
Help me understand.
And don't confuse my obsession with Uranus as me being any kind of astrological whiz. But
you know, I love you, Ron. I love you.
The big thing apparently is, you know, with black holes, obviously the big thing about black holes is that they suck in all light that's around them. So because of this, you know, we were never able to, take a picture of it because there's no light whatsoever. You know, so when you see this picture from the Event Horizon Telescope, which, how badass of a name of a telescope is that?
Well, it wasn't just one telescope, right? I thought it was a series of them.
It was, the whole program is the Event Horizon Telescope.
Okay.
Listen, don't. Why you got to be like this?
I'm not. I'm trying to understand it from an outsider's perspective.
All right. So, I mean, when you see the picture, you know, the while it's obviously it's very blurry. I mean, it's not 100% discernible, but like the crazy part is like you look at that dark spot, the hole in the center of it, and it's basically an exit portal from our universe. Like there's light in that dark spot, but we can't see it because it's being pulled through to wherever that black hole is leading to. I mean, it's like I don't know.
Where does it lead? Where is it leading to?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're not really sure. You know what's in the region behind that. You know, it's like you look at there's light and matter in there, but you can never ever see it because it's left our observable universe, and we don't know where it's gone to. Now, if you look at the ring that surrounds that dark center, that's kind of that reddish orange thing.
Yeah, that's the light before it gets sucked in.
Right. That is the area outside of the event horizon. The event horizon is the area where everything gets sucked in, and that boundary is called the photon orbit. And okay. It's bright because the matter in it is being torn to pieces before it gets pulled into the black hole. And the temperature is measured in billions of degrees. So, you know, it's brighter at the bottom because that light's actually moving towards us due to something similar to the Doppler effect. I mean, it's just crazy all of the science that is going on. And the space and time is so warped in that area that some of this light, you know, it's orbiting the black hole in a circle. I mean, it's craziness. That's all I can tell you.
you had me for a little bit, and then you started. When you used the word Doppler, I was thinking of our the Doppler radar system that you had installed back in week 4.
Right. Well, it's a little bit different than the Doppler system, but it's all right. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you could really read a lot about it. I mean, it was an incredible collaboration. 8 observatories all over the world had to sync up their clocks to a ridiculous degree just to be able to combine to get this photo. I mean, again, a lot of people are kind of shitting on it because the photo clarity wasn't that great. But this is a monumental step in the science community.
Well, I don't personally think that. I think this is fake. I think it's fake. I think, you know, you got some scientists who obviously are, you know, they're Hillary supporters, and they just doctored a photo so we can spend money in looking into space when we should be building a wall.
All right. I mean, I respect your opinion. There are good people on both sides of the black hole.
Of course.
The Disney black hole movie, one of my favorites as a kid. So I encourage you all to go out and see it.
Is that with Maximilian?
You are Maximilian Schell.
Yes, I love that movie.
Fantastic.
I remember seeing it in theaters when it came out.
It's so trippy.
Holy shit. I love the fact that my mind just was blown out. Also, I would like to end this episode with an apology.
Oh, yes, please.
My insensitivity last week in terms of, and it was really rooted in ignorance, I did not take into account all the efforts and accomplishments that Nipsey Hussle had made in the Los Angeles community. In an attempt at humor, I intentionally confused Nipsey Hussle with Nipsey Russell. In an effort to add an air of levity, I also made reference to Eric Holder, the former attorney general, not the L.A. Citizen who is now charged with Nipsey Hussle's death. And I wanted to say that I have learned from that, and I will take these matters seriously moving forward.
All right. The crazy thing also is Chris Darden, O.J. Simpson's former prosecutor, is now the defense attorney for Eric Holder.
You can't make this shit up.
Truth is stranger than fiction, my friend.
Wouldn't it have been funnier if it was a different Chris Darden?
That really would have blown your mind.
I would have fucking loved it if it was just Chris Darden, not the same one. Oh, that would have been
so. Anyway, Eric Holder is being held with bail at $5 million. Chris Darden was unsuccessful in getting the judge to bar cameras from the courtroom. So we will be seeing this case moving forward shortly. But yeah, very small legal world that we run in.
There you go. Also, I want to start talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay. We got to. Not now. But we got to look into that.
I'm doing research. I've listened to a couple podcasts about him. He is the billionaire who has a convicted pedophile who got a sweetheart deal from the Florida prosecutor. There's a lot of shit going on there.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got this week. As always, check out the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Vote on This Week in Racism on Facebook and Twitter. The theme for Drink of the Week next week, we're looking for tequila drinks. Maybe get a little bit more creative than Tequila Sunrise. Give us some thoughts on that so we have something a little bit better to drink. I'm not going to say the vodka martini was a bust this week, but still not a martini fan.
Not my cup of tea, but it's also because I'm not a fan of vermouth and the vodka. It's not a flavorful beverage.
You need to add a little something to it, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, but thanks to our friends at Tito's for giving us some great vodka to be anyway. So I'm still a fan of Tito's, just not a fan of vermouth. So we're going to roll on out. As always, listen, subscribe, rate, review, share us, help us grow what's going on here. I got helicopters flying overhead, so that always means it's time to evacuate the area. Brian, sir, as always, I love you, my friend.
Love you, too.
And we're going to get on out of here. Have a good week, everybody.